Okay, open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. We're going to just talk on a little subject a little bit tonight that's in the news. And if I can get this microphone fixed right, there we go. There's the way it's supposed to be, and then there's the way I want it to be. There's a difference. Yeah, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Now, I'm going to try to talk to you, but my throat jumped on me here. I didn't realize I had a problem until I walked out here. I said to Brother Perkins a while ago, I said, why is that? I think I was normal in the office. I walk out here on the platform and start having to clear my throat. He said, it's all that perfume out there. So I've got a suggestion. Quit wearing it. Then we'll become known as Stinky Landmark. All right, I don't think that's it. But if it was, I know what you ladies would do. You say, I keep my perfume, get rid of the preacher. And I wouldn't blame you. In fact, I'd just about welcome it. Revelation chapter 12. In the news, and it's right here on us tonight in the next couple of days. What is in the news? What is in the news is being called the sign of Revelation 12. It's being called the convergence. It's mostly in the news online, on the internet, and all you folks that are addicted to that know about it. Once in a while, the major news TV slips up and says something. My wife was listening. I didn't get to hear it, but Channel 13 over here, the news lady on it, made a statement the last day or two after the storms and then the earthquake hitting in Mexico. And she made a statement, and I'm glad she did. She made the statement, a lot of folks want to know what's going on. Maybe something big is about to happen. Maybe the rapture is about to happen. That's what she said. Some of them know more than you think they know. Interesting. And by the way, what can come good out of hurricanes and earthquakes and people being killed, a lot of things, it might cause a lot of people to think about the Lord. It might. So that's good. Amen. But what's in the news pretty much is what Brother Walt Shepherd come and showed us and talked to us about. And I taught a little bit more on it in Sunday school here. And the date picked out was September the 23rd. Well, what's today, the 20th? I believe it is. And so that's getting pretty close. Anyway, argument about whether or not the signs supposedly going to be portrayed in the heavens when all the planets and stars and so forth line up, the conjunctions get together to give the picture that we're going to read about here in our text in Revelation chapter 12. What it means, does it mean anything? Is a big event about to happen? Well, one good thing about it, it's got a lot of folks talking about the Lord coming back. That's a good thing, I think. The constellation Virgo, the Virgin, the sun and the moon with 12 stars, over it, out of, if you know these terminology, these names, out of Leo. Three planets conversion, Mars, Venus, Mercury, I guess it is. And all this convergence has not happened to give the same picture in the heavens for thousands of years. So in astronomy, it is lining up, and we're not talking about astrology, which is a lot of voodoo and foolishness. But it is interesting. It is rare, to say the least. And they have a software program out there in the computer world that is showing the lineup, how it's going to develop. Of course, that's above my pay grade, so I don't fool with that. And I wish a lot of folks would get a little more direct to the Bible and leave some of the internet wild theory junk away alone, but they won't. And the people can have a faithful pastor that studied the Word of God and preached to them for 40 years, and they'll take some jerk that hadn't been around, he's still wet behind the ears, but he got him spot on the line, and everybody listened to him. Something wrong with that, folks. Something bad wrong with that. But it's the truth. It's too bad that it is. But I want to speak to you a little bit tonight. I'm going to read. The chapter's not long. And you ought to be familiar with it. Chapter 12, Revelation. The first few verses are the ones we're going to have to park on. I want to give you some pros and cons to why this could be something big and why maybe it's being misinterpreted. And I'll tell you right up front, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I'll also say this, when you do a Bible study, you ought to let the Scripture lead you. Don't lead the Scripture to fit your program, your plan of the way you want it to be. And so we'll just talk about it a little bit tonight. Time will not allow me to get into it real deep. But the word converge, most of us know. Many things coming together. If it's a traffic, it all converges at the traffic circle or something like that. So we understand. So what makes this somewhat interesting above other times that, and by the way, I've never been against, I've tried to keep you updated through the years about what folks were saying about the second coming of Christ, and tried to look in the Scripture and search to see if those things be true. And so that's what I'm doing again a little bit right here, just to update you, just because some of you think I totally forgot about it. I know Brother Parsons promised you the Lord would be here on the 23rd, and I'm hoping he's right before the next storm gets here at least. But all joking aside, and he was joking, of course, it's interesting, and no doubt about it, it's interesting. Now let me ask you a little question before I get into it. How do you feel about it in your heart? If I could prove to you tonight from the Scripture Jesus was coming by Sunday morning, how would you feel about it? Amen. Would you really welcome it, or would you say, I got to fix some stuff in a hurry? Huh? Now, I can tell by looking at some of you, you got a lot of unfixed stuff. No doubt about it. But the truth is, we won't have that kind of advanced knowledge. So we ought to be ready anyhow, right? Amen. Ought to be ready anyhow. So let's look at it here in chapter 12 of Revelation. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was, and you ought to underline the word was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up, underline caught up, unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, of that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nursed for a time and times and a half a time. That's the 1260 days again, or 42 months. Verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now in this picture, word picture, this scene in heaven, we have three characters. We have the woman, which almost any decent Bible-believing student will tell you represents Israel. You go back to the story of the dream of Joseph and so forth. Then, of course, the red dragon, Satan, is identified very clearly who he is here in the book of Revelation. And then you have the woman bringing forth the man-child. And, of course, we know the man-child ultimately and is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, there's going to be I'm going to put a little bit more of an emphasis on the man-child. While we know he's Jesus Christ, I want to also point out in another way what he might represent. And the real reason behind some folks teach that this scene that's fixed to take place in heaven is taking place among the stars and the planets, the conjunctions getting together, that this picture that's taking place in heaven is picturing the rapture. And I'll tell you why now. Brother Shepherd didn't say it was picturing the rapture. I have not said it was picturing the rapture. And I'll tell you why if I can remember to here in just a moment. I want to go back to the word convergence just for a minute. I said if you had a traffic circle and cars were coming from several directions, they'd be converging upon each other. The reason they want to call it a convergence is because so many signs coming together, so many biblical possibilities seemingly coming and arriving at the same time, at the same spot. One of the convergences is the feast days of Israel. The feast day that is first right here on us now is the Feast of Trumpets, which is called Rosh Hashanah, in the first of the year with the Jews. Now, there's a little bit of a mistake, I think, in this thing you've been maybe seeing on the internet, and I don't get on the internet. I haven't seen it. But there's a program, a computer software program, I guess you'd call it, called Stellarium. Raise your hand if you've seen it. Well, good. You don't know whether it's true or I just said it. Yeah, that's good. I really prefer you be busy doing more profitable things anyhow. But that program shows you the lineup of the planets and the stars and the picture of the woman with child and the red dragon and so forth. And this picture that it gives brings in the point, which is a legitimate point, that it is happening during the high holy days of Israel. Now, theoretically, nobody can prove one way or the other that Jesus will fulfill the Feast of the Trumpets or any other feast day necessarily. But it is a good argument that the feast days were called the appointed times. And it is a very solid argument that Jesus did fulfill the first three of them. One of them being Passover. Paul said he was our Passover offered for us. So we know he was the Passover lamb. So if he fulfilled the Passover, if he fulfilled in his resurrection as being the first fruits from the grave, if he did fulfill the first four, we got three to go, and the next one to be fulfilled is the Feast of the Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Now, according to the TV program, I've been told, they're saying that the exact date of Rosh Hashanah is September 23rd. Well, they're off a little bit. Because if you read in the ledger today, in the newspaper today, it's talking about it being Rosh Hashanah. starting after 6 p.m. tonight. So we're already into it. According to the Temple Emmanuel in Lakeland, Rabbi I used to know, talked to a little bit. I think he's gone. I believe another one is there. But the Temple Emmanuel over there are celebrating beginning tonight, Rosh Hashanah. So between now and the 23rd, which today's the 20th, now you remember Jewish time starts at 6 p.m. We go to midnight, they go to 6 p.m. Well, they're scriptural from the book of Genesis, because God said the morning and the evening was the first day. Sorry, he said the evening and the morning was the first day. He started with the evening. So they still start with the evening. And so tonight, after 6 p.m., becomes the feast day of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets. And so that seems to be conversion. At the same time of the picture in heaven, at the same time, they're arguing whether or not the Shemitah has arrived, which is the 50th year of the Sabbaths, remember? And that's a big thing. Now, they can't quite prove that, and even the Jews are not 100% sure on that one. But it's another thing that seems to be converging. So when you put it all together, yes, it's good Bible study. It's good interest to say, well, God's bringing a whole pile of stuff together at one time because of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets, 1 Corinthians 15, we're waiting for the last trump. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15. So that's not bad Bible linkage there, putting that together. And Rosh Hashanah is also not only the Feast of the Trumpets, but is the Day of Resurrection. And the Jews recognize that also. What happens at the rapture? There's also a resurrection, right? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with them in the clouds, to be forever with the Lord. That's the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. So I'm just saying, kind of updating you a little bit, where we're at tonight. It's in the news, and a lot of events coming together. At the same time, catastrophes are happening on the world, the hurricanes, the earthquakes. Interesting, the earthquake in Mexico hit at the same date of the last big one. Interesting that this storm that just hit us came on the same date, followed the same path of destruction through Florida that Hurricane Donna did in 1960. Just accidents, I guess, but maybe to get folks' attention, they ought to look at some of those coincidences. And so there's some interesting things going on. The lady on the TV news, I hope she don't get in trouble. I don't think what she said was politically correct by today's anti-Godism crowd, but maybe she got by with it. Now, the timing of this thing is interesting. Again, they're saying Rosh Hashanah on the 23rd, but the Jews are saying it begins tonight, at least in America. Now, I understand there's about a day difference between our timing and if you were over in the nation of Israel. So I haven't studied all that out, and don't really matter. You know, it'd be all right with me if the rapture happened tonight or if it waited till Sunday. I could make it that far. So with all joking aside, it don't matter whether the Rosh Hashanah starts in Israel at the same time it starts here. But the Jewish temples, the Jewish synagogues in America are starting Rosh Hashanah tonight. Now, I want to get back to the text a little bit. The common accepted view that I have taught and others have taught through the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 12, is that this picture of the woman Israel and the man-child, Jesus, and Satan is a picture that was fulfilled when Jesus was born. Let's think about it. Israel brought forth, the Virgin Mary brought forth Jesus. She was a virgin out of Israel. He was the Jewish Messiah. So what happened at the birth of Jesus? Satan motivated Herod to kill all the babies trying to kill Jesus, correct? And so historically that's true. I asked you to underline the word was up in verse 5 because it says she brought forth a child who was, not yet, but in the future, rule all nations with a rod of iron. That is yet to be. It has not happened. But that child, that baby, that virgin brought forth is going to be the ruler. He's going to rule the nations, which he'll have to with a rod of iron. They're going to be just as rebellious as they are right now against him when he shows up. Now, so the basic teaching on this is that that did happen. And so what you have in Revelation is referring back to the time that Jesus was born and Satan was trying to kill him. That's pretty good established. I mean, you get most any good fundamental Bible believing commentary, and that's pretty much the way they will teach that. That's already been. And the text here, for when he rules with a rod of iron, will be future. Now, following the rest of the verses down that we read the whole chapter, it is easy to see that much of what is in the next verses definitely deals with the tribulation period, and especially the last half of the tribulation period, 42 months of the 1260 days. And that seems to be very good Bible exegesis, Bible discernment there. Now, what is now under consideration is the other word I asked you to underline up in verse 5, and that was the word caught up. Caught up. It's Greek. The Greek word is harpazo, however you say it. Don't fool with the Greek much, but it does help you a little bit in this sense. It's the same word, if you'll turn over now and look, that Paul used when he was talking about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Harpazo, or however you say it. But it's the word translated correctly in your King James Bible, as always. And it's the word caught up. You could actually say snatched up and have the same meaning right here. But if you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and pick it up in verse 16 and 17 to get our context. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You got the word again, caught up, just like it reads in Revelation 12, caught up. Same word. So the picture would be this. It would be Satan comes down to persecute Israel and the man child she's brought forth. As we read in the text, Israel is given some wings, as it were, pictured, that she flees to the wilderness from Satan. Now, it's a little bit hard to imagine because the place is not that big, but for years and years, most Bible commentaries you'll read will tell you that they believe that Israel in the tribulation period, the remnant of them, won't be the all of them, but the remnant of them will flee to the rock red city called Petra, remember? It's there, you can go over there as a tourist and see it. And it seemed like it might be a logical place for them to hide and, as it were, make a last stand against Satan. Now, Satan is not gonna come as a red dragon. He's going to muster the armies of the heathen world against Israel. And you go to the little red rock city of Petra, there's only one entrance, very narrow. And you could see where someone could go in there, and a few men with old-fashioned weapons could hold off an enemy for a long time because of that entrance. However, in modern weapons today, we can't imagine that. One atomic bomb, that'd be it. Just a good bunch of B-52s coming over there could just destroy that place from the air. But theoretically, there's some folks believe that the grid that we know, the electronic grid across the world, is going to be not as it is now, and that the war is going to revert back to more old-fashioned weapons, guns and swords and horses. I don't know. I do read where the military is having a little fear because of the magnetic poles of the earth giving them trouble right now. You know, when we fire a missile at an enemy country, if we have to fire one at Korea, do you know that missile is guided on what we would simplify by saying a GPS system, a geographical system, similar to what you have falling around yourself in your car? But if the magnetic poles are shifting, and they claim they are, they're going to have a problem. It's going to throw off the aim of the missiles. All of that's in the talk right now that you're not hearing on the main news. Now, I don't want to get off on that. I'm just saying in the text here, it says that Israel, the woman, is going to have a hiding place in the wilderness, whether it's Petra or somewhere else, I don't know. For a short period, she's going to go there. But what happens to the man-child? Look in the text with me again. The text here says, and she brought forth a man-child, verse 5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So let's get the picture. Here's the mother, Israel, running, but the man-child is airlifted. He's caught up. And here's where the rapture teaching comes in. That here, the man-child is not just Jesus Christ, but he's Jesus Christ in his fullness, which is his body, which is his church. Doesn't the scripture teach he's in us and we're in him? Doesn't it? So in the fullest sense, now you fellows, I'll be teaching on the church tomorrow in college, but you fellows, the local church is it down here in the flesh. Don't get misled with the universal invisible church. That's a bunch of junk. Stay away from that. That's all you read. But you're not reading Baptist books. You're reading after those that are trying to not want to be Baptists. Anyway. But when we're caught up, there won't be any Methodists, Catholics, and Baptists. They're all going to be the church of the firstborn, Hebrews chapter 12, in Christ, born again in Christ. If you're not in him, you're not in the church. The church that's going to stand before him in heaven. Down here, we're local. And all the people that are against the local church sure do know where to find us when they want money. They sure do know where to call. I have told a few, why don't you call the Invisible Church and ask them for a donation? That sort of gets them off the line. But the truth is, some are saying this caught up. The woman is Israel. Satan comes down after. He's caught up. And that's why they like this date for the rapture. Because the picture is the picture of the woman, the man-child, and Satan after, but he's caught up. Satan misses him. He's airlifted out of the midst. Now, if the man-child carries with it the full representation of what Christ won and paid for on the cross and through the resurrection, if it's talking about all those in Christ and all those Christ is in, then they got a pretty good argument. Yeah, yes, it could be the rapture. Again, we're doing a Bible study tonight, and I hope I'm not too far out on a limb here with folks that are always watching for something wrong. But anyway, just to think about it a little bit, that's what's under consideration. The word caught up. Whether or not the word is just Jesus. Now, we know Jesus ascended after the resurrection. We know that happened. So if it's only talking about him, then that's it. But if it's talking about him and all those that make up his body, then they got a pretty good argument the rapture could be in sight. So we leave that. Now, there's some negatives. I pretty much give you the positive argument for why the rapture could happen. By the way, it can happen anytime. Amen. We're not waiting on a sign. And all the signs have been fulfilled long ago. So understand me on that. I don't know the day nor hour, and I'm not saying I do. I'm saying a lot of folks are excited because so many things converging at one time. Now, here's some negatives. One thing against this sign, oh, I believe it's there. I believe the conjunctions of the planets and the stars, I believe it's there. I mean, the computer models show it. And you could lay flat on your back at night and figure out the, look at the stars and figure out the Big Dipper and figure out the Bear and figure out all that stuff out, up there. It's all sketched up there, no doubt about it. And if you could do that, you'd see this this sign. You'd see Virgo, and you'd see that Jupiter comes, as it were, the babe in the womb. And then at this date, the babe is expelled from the womb. The birth takes place. That's what is signified in the stars and planets and so forth. Now, here's my problem. I've got several problems with it. Here's one. It's spoken of here in the text as being a sign. Pick it up in verse 1. Appeared a great wonder in heaven. And if this is a sign, the problem is you can't go out at night and see it because it takes place at the exact time, what we would call daylight, or when the sun is up and you can't see it. Different parts of the world, you'd have to look at your astronomy charts, but basically, if it's a sign, and yet God hid it. So, well, how you know it takes place? Because places like NASA and places that follow all this stuff on the computer and all that, the telescopes, yeah, they got it pegged right. It does happen. No doubt about it. But it's not seen. That bothers us a little bit. What bothers me some more is the rest of the verses in this chapter. I read the whole chapter and I don't have time to talk about it all. They are so definitely dealing with the last half of the tribulation period. So that's the problem. I'm just giving you a little bit of both sides of it here. Now, the other thing is, there's a lot of good argument. I've always favored Rosh Hashanah as being, since the resurrection was involved, and since the trumpets was involved, and since it was the next or the fifth feast to yet be fulfilled by Jesus, I've always felt like it would be somewhere in that area that he would fulfill that Rosh Hashanah. However, there's good argument, and I've studied it quite a bit, years, there's a good argument that Pentecost, when the church was empowered, the 5,000 were saved, there was a recognizable dispensational change, basically, at Pentecost. And so the argument has been that this is a big dispensational change when the rapture takes place, and it will be. Because when the church is called out, then Israel is back on center stage. And God is dealing with Israel. That's a dispensational change. So a lot of folks will argue that just like there was a dispensational change on Pentecost, that there will be when the rapture comes. And so Pentecost, springtime, is when Pentecost comes. And the argument from springtime is pretty strong. You read about it in the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, rather. Song of Solomon, where the bride says, catch me away. it sounds like the Lord coming back for his bride in the Song of Solomon. Springtime pictures a resurrection, don't it? That's when we celebrate Easter. And that's when we see the dead tree that looks like it's dead come to life. Springtime. So there's a strong argument that the rapture will take place in the area of springtime, when the whole earth is getting new life and going through a wonderful change. There's a lot of argument both ways. And if you say which side you come down on, I hope both of them's right. If we miss one, let's have the other one, amen? Won't be that much difference. But with all joking aside, it is interesting times, folks. Because if you look at the whole world right now, what a mess. What a mess. We're looking like nuclear war is going to happen whether we want it to or not, right? That's what it's looking like. Do you know the governments of the world, not just America, but the governments of the world, have legalized an abomination called homosexuality? We have slapped God Almighty in the face with immorality and perversion. Never been the whole world like it is right now for trying to defy God and mock God and mock Him. And it's just a good chance God's about fed up like we are. I can see where He finally is going to say, okay, that's it. Maybe a few hurricanes and maybe a few earthquakes, and earthquakes were certainly predicted. Maybe it'll cause a bunch of folks to get saved right at the last. I don't know. I hope so. Be a wonderful thing if some of them got their mind off the cell phone and got on God, wouldn't it? Be great. All right. Just so you don't think I was ignoring it, I thought I'd run over just the points across tonight a little bit. And, of course, you could spend several hours getting into the details. But the big thing is, number one, you're saved. Number two, you're living for the Lord because you might face Him. You might face Him right away. I don't know whether that's the trumpet warming up to blow or not. Well, I expected them to be still here anyway. All right, let's stand before I get in trouble here on the front row.